Speaking to us today is Dr. Billy McConnell. He has been hired as the new head of school at Mobile Christian School. I've gotten to know him through our interview process and now through our working relationship together as me representing the board as chairman and he as our head of school. He is currently there at Mobile Christian. His wife Karen has not been able to make it down just yet, so anybody that wants to cook a home-cooked meal for him, I'm sure he'd love that too. But Dr. McConnell is a great man. He is a lifelong educator. He has been involved in various roles of that, and I thought it very fitting today, knowing a lot of his background, knowing a lot of his personal story, for him to come and speak to us on a day of where we're going to honor our graduates. And so I'm looking forward to hearing him speak. I'm also looking forward to learning from him today. He is a great man of God, and it is my honor to allow him now to come and present God's message to us.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. Can y'all hear me? Is that right? Great. Well, thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. And I thank you for all your kindness. Karen and I visited here when we interviewed, and you have been wonderful to us, and we appreciate that. I especially want to thank Mike and Margaret for putting up with me and giving me a place to stay for a few days. And we are glad to be here in Mobile. Now, if I don't say that quite right, you can help me with that. I will tell you that we are moving here from West Virginia, and I'm originally a Texan. So I did see a bumper sticker that said M-O-H-B-E-E. So is that right, Mobile? Did I say that right? Okay. Well, I appreciate that. So correct me when I haven't quite gotten it right. But we are excited to be here. I will tell you that Karen is coming Wednesday. I am very excited to go up to West Virginia and get her and all of our belongings. And I say that to you because when Terry said that Karen's not here yet, I didn't want you to think that she was still thinking about whether or not she was coming here. So she is coming, and I'm very thankful for that. I hesitate to tell you my current existence because Miss Margaret is not going to be happy with me for not coming back over. But we ended up renting an apartment, and the only thing I could get down here is what would fit in my pickup. So I have my clothes, I have a mattress, I have a pot to cook in. Karen sent a frying pan. I don't know where it is. But then I went out and I purchased a folding chair and a TV tray. Now, what I want you to know is this is not the Walmart folding chair and TV tray. I splurged and went all the way to Target for this. So you can imagine my existence right now. And I'm glad that Karen is going to be here soon. The other thing I need to clear up with you very quickly is I know there's some confusion in the audience, but I am not Jason Smith's twin. I did play second base in Little League, and I can understand the confusion, but that is why I wear a tie all the time so that people can tell us apart. So don't ask me about baseball, because I'm not him. But I want to thank you today for inviting me on the day that you are honoring your graduates. I am a lifelong educator, and I have been in Christian education the whole time. And I thank you for all the support that you have given to Mobile Christian. And there'll be some opportunities in the future to do that. And I hope what you see Mobile Christian as is not competition with the public schools. I hope you don't see it as some kind of an elite place. I hope you see it for what it is, and that is we are a ministry and a mission to the community of Mobile. And that's what it will continue to be as I come down and we continue to grow. And I wanted to share a little bit with you today, my background, so that you can understand why I have dedicated and my wife has dedicated our life to Christian schools. So if you look at this next picture, if I can learn how to work this, there we go. That's my family. So that's me or Jason, whichever one you want to think about. And that's Karen. And then the two most important people in that picture, can anybody guess? Those are my grandkids. That's Rhea, who has turned one, and Aiden, who has just turned three. And then there are four adults that snuck into the picture. I was trying to remember who they were this morning. I think Rhea and Aiden call them Mommy and Daddy and Aunt and Uncle. So I know they have names, but you see my focus. Grandparents, you get that. But I share this picture with you because oftentimes people look at the life I have now and they assume that my life has always been easy, that I grew up in the church, that things were never an issue, that I always had things go my way. And sometimes I wish that was true. But actually, it's the farthest from the truth. So when I was born, my mother never saw me. I came out of the womb and went straight out through the door into the hospital nursery. She never even looked at me. And my birth certificate said baby Obert. So she didn't even name me. So I spent a number of weeks in an orphanage, I assume, I don't remember. But if I take you back about 3 years, there was a husband and wife who were trying to have kids, and their life wasn't perfect. This was the third marriage for the wife. They didn't go to church anywhere. I think they may have put a church name down, but they didn't darken the door anywhere. There wasn't a faith that existed. But this wife decided she wanted another child and for some reason couldn't have one. And so she thought, I don't know what else to do, but I hear there's a God. And so she started praying to God and saying, God, if you will just give me a son, then I will raise him to follow you. Thought that was kind of a strange story for a person who didn't believe in God. But she was desperate. And after about 3 years, then this little boy named Baby Obert became available for adoption. And they went and they got me. And they took me back to Texas. And I'd love to tell you that the story ends there, and it was happily ever after, and it's going to be a Disney story, and there's going to be a DVD that Justin can buy, but none of that's the case. When I turned 5, my parents divorced. We were living in El Paso, Texas, and moved to a part of town that frankly was pretty rough. I knew 2 languages, English and Spanish. I would not repeat any of the Spanish that I know in this auditorium. I had to fight my way home most days at school. And my mom didn't even have a high school education. So I grew up around the bars that she worked in as a waitress. I grew up around the restaurants she worked in as a waitress. And about 2nd grade, I met a friend named Kenny at school. And Kenny became my good friend. And every day I would walk to Kenny's house, I would pick him up, and we would either ride our bikes or walk on to school. And Kenny used to do things like bet me that I couldn't get from school to his house without cussing. I never won. But Kenny had started inviting me to Bible class with him. And I'd never seen people like that before. I'd never been introduced to the Bible, and I was amazed at what family could look like. And I spent a lot of time at his home. And I spent a lot of time at his home because my home was not always the place I wanted to be. Because there were boyfriends and drunkards. And I remember locking the door at times at night and my mom saying, don't open it. So I spent a lot of time where I found family. And pretty soon they started inviting her to church. And when I was about 10, my mom became a Christian. And when I was 11, I gave myself to Christ. And it was at that time that my mom remembered her prayers and her promise to God. And what she said was, I don't know how to raise a young man to follow Christ. I don't know how to raise a man that will believe and follow God. So she started looking, and it turns out that Kenny and I had a mentor, big brother, who taught our fifth grade Bible class. And I thought he was the coolest, oldest person I could imagine. He was this really old guy that would take us to play football and get ice cream. And I was so amazed at how old he was that he would pay attention to us. As I look back, I realize he was about a freshman or sophomore in college. But that was really old, right, when you're in fifth grade. And so my mom shared her thoughts and her story with him. And he said, I don't know if this will help. He said, but where I go to college is in Lubbock, Texas. And he went to Lubbock Christian University. And he said, I don't know if this will help, but there's a school on that campus that may be your answer. So my mom prayed about it. We drove from El Paso to Lubbock, Texas, and we looked at Lubbock Christian School. And my mom said, I don't know how to raise a young man to follow God, but this place does. And so we went back to El Paso, Texas. She sold everything we had. We packed what was left in a little green duster, and we drove to Lubbock, Texas, and she enrolled me in Lubbock Christian School. And that was one of the biggest blessings she ever gave to me. And she gave me a lot. But to put me in that school allowed me to not just grow academically, but it allowed me to be in the family with my friends to learn what it meant to be a Christian father, to be a Christian husband, to live life following Christ. And the teachers and the coaches that I had were my mentors, and not only taught me what to do, and they taught me Scripture, but they also were models for that. And she was right. She didn't know how at the time, but they did. And my mom still didn't have a high school education. I don't know how she afforded it. So my superintendent became my mentor, and he has been my mentor my whole career. And I asked him one time, how did my mom pay for this? What kind of financial aid did you give her? And he said, we never gave your mom anything. And she never asked. Because we would have if she asked. And what I realized and started realizing, not till I was an adult, that was the most important thing to my mom. Keeping that promise and putting me in a place where I would learn to follow Christ was the most important thing for her. And so I've never forgotten that. And Karen and I have spent our career giving back. And so as I continue to think about this, as I continue to work with young people, I think about what I was taught in Texas. Now, I don't know what you say in Alabama, but in Texas, we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Do you do that in Alabama? Got a little bit of shaking the heads. And so that's one of the things I learned in Texas. Of course, the oddity of that is I've never owned a pair of boots. But as I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about following Christ and following God and reading Scripture, I realized maybe that's not really what God intended. And so I watched a lot of my friends who could tell you all the Scriptures, they could quote them, they could pass tests, they could do anything they wanted to. And when they left home and got on their own, and it was time to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, I saw that God wasn't always a part of that. Because we were taught to be independent. And so what would happen is they were confused. They couldn't reconcile everything. And I watched a lot of my friends leave God and leave the church. And I started realizing that as I became an educator, that it was not my job to help them to become independent. I realized as a parent, it wasn't my job to help my guys become independent. But what Karen and I realized as parents, and what we realized as educators, is our job was to simply move the dependency. That our job as parents was to get our kids to move the dependence from us to their dependence on God. And there were no bootstraps in the middle of that. Because what I saw by trying to live independently is what we were teaching our kids to do was to live for Christ, not with Christ or in Christ. Now, that may not sound like a distinction to you, but it's a huge distinction to me, because what I discovered is oftentimes when we try to live for Christ, what that means is, I'm going to do what He asked me to do, but I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, and I don't really need You unless things get tough. But in Christ meant that everything that I do depends on Him. And so that's what we started sharing as educators. Now, what I've seen in the last probably 5 to 10 years as an educator, and I've spent my time both at K-12 as well as higher ed, is I will tell you at higher ed what I've seen is a pendulum swing. And the pendulum swing is that now we have a generation, and we're going into our second generation, of students who moved away from picking themselves up by their own bootstraps to being totally dependent upon their parents. As one of my friends says, we now live in an age where our young people grew up actually not having their parents prepare them for the path, but we now have a generation of students who had their parents clear the path. And there's a huge difference. And so what I've seen at the college level is I've seen college students who, again, couldn't reconcile their faith. They couldn't handle the stress. They didn't know what to do once they got out. And Scripture just wasn't working for them because Scripture was independent of their life. They knew it. They could pass the test. Or as my guys say, if you go to a Christian school, the answer is either C or Jesus. Right? They could pick those out. But they didn't know how to live in Christ. And so they would fall away. Or they would do things to cope with stress that would involve drugs or sex or alcohol because they didn't know how to walk with Christ. And I see it continue. I've worked at graduate schools and I have students come to me at the graduate level and apply, and I said, what do you want to do with your life? You just got a 4-year degree, now what? And they go, I don't know. I guess I'll go home. And that's what they do. Matter of fact, we have a generation of students today that a majority go back home. And one survey said that generations today, the millennial and the Generation Z today, that you don't become an adult until you are 29. Or unless you have a kid. One of those two. And I thought, wow, 29. And then I was speaking to the vice president from Chick-fil-A. And this was back in 2006. And even back in 2006, for the students that we did see going out in the world, what they were telling me from Chick-fil-A is, corporate jobs, college graduates, guess who came to the interview? Mom. Because our graduate didn't know how to live independent. If they didn't get a raise after the first year, guess who called? Mom. So we've seen this pendulum swing, and what I want to try to talk about today and get us back to is there's no independence. Whether it was total independence over here or dependency on our parents. I think what God asked us to do was to be dependent on Him. And that's what we have to help our young people do today. So oftentimes when I talk to young people, I'll ask them, what animal would you want representing you? And I'll get answers like lion and gorilla and the eagle and all of those kind of things. I always wanted to be an eagle, right? Be able to soar, be independent, all of that. Anybody notice anything about any of those animals? They're all strong and independent. And that's what we tend to want to be at times. So as I started looking at Scripture, we can look at John 10, 14 through 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Okay, wait a minute. So I'm looking at this as a young man going, okay, God is the shepherd, and I am the sheep. Now, remember, I spent my teen years in Lubbock, Texas, which, man, I was surrounded by cotton and cows. I didn't know anything about sheep. So I started learning about sheep. And you know what I discovered about sheep? They're the dumbest animal on the planet. And sheep can't really function on their own. And I'm looking at this young man and I'm going, okay, I wanted to be an eagle, but this is how God sees me. I'm not sure that I liked that. Because I wanted to pull myself up on my own bootstraps. I wanted to be the eagle flying. And my God is calling me this? And then I started learning more about sheep. And I started studying shepherds from the Middle East. And what I discovered was sheep really aren't very smart. Or in fact, if left alone without a shepherd, sheep will totally destroy the land that they are on. And it just becomes filled with disease and bugs that will eventually kill them. And that's why a good shepherd has to move them from place to place. And what I discovered about sheep is they always think the grass is greener on the other side. So without the good shepherd there, they will go to the fence and they're always looking to get over. And they're always looking to get away. And what happens when they get away is they go out and they get lost and they will turn over. And if they get turned over on their back so that all 4 feet are off the ground, they can't get back up. And they will bloat and die. And then what I discovered is that sheep will constantly be anxious and not at rest. And they will fight each other. And if they're even in green grass, they won't lay down unless there's peace. But there's not a lot of peace when a shepherd's not around because they're constantly being bombarded with what might happen and what enemies are around and what's going to happen to me. And if they do lie down, what will happen is there's a pecking order. And the strongest sheep will butt the weakest sheep out of a spot of grass because they want it. And they stay in constant turmoil about life. Then I started thinking, that sounds like a species I know. Sound familiar? Because it really is us. It really is us and how we live. Constantly fighting, constantly in stress. Matter of fact, the stress level of this young generation today, for many of them, is so high that if they lived in the 1950s, they really would be committed to an insane asylum. That's what our young people are dealing with today. So I started studying more and I started looking. And what I discovered is that things change when there's a good shepherd that's taking care of the flock. Because what a good shepherd does is constantly moves them around so there's always green grass. What a good shepherd does is if one of the sheep gets lost, they go out and find them and bring them back. And they have their staff, and it has the hook, and that's what they will use to pull them out of a ditch. It's also what they will use when they're walking together, and they will just use it to just stroke the sheep. And what a good shepherd does is he actually goes out and finds water and has to dig and has to prepare that water for his sheep. And in the wintertime, the good shepherd will go up and he will go up on the mountain, up on a cap rock, which they refer to as a table. And he will prepare it. He will get all of the weeds out. He will get all the things that will kill his sheep out of the way. He will grow green grass. He will find all the enemies. He will know exactly where all the predators are. And he prepares that for when spring comes and it's time for summer, he will then lead his sheep out of the valley, up the mountain, up through the rocks, up to the top of the cap rock, to the top of the table, so that his sheep can enjoy the summer in the luscious grass. And what I discovered about sheep is, when the shepherd is with them, there may be enemies all around. But when the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, they will finally lay down and be at peace. They will not fight for the best spots. They will not be afraid of the enemies. And they actually know that the shepherd has a club that he carries. And if you've ever seen a Middle Eastern shepherd use it, he can club a predator from a long way away. But it's only with the shepherd that the sheep finally lay down, allows the shepherd to take care of them, and follows the shepherd and lives the life that they were expected to live. So as I look at this, I'm kind of going, maybe I really do want to be a sheep. So let's read together. Psalm 23. Because learning all that brought me right back to here. And what I've come to realize is we often use this chapter as a chapter for mourning, for comfort, for people who are going through a difficult time. And what I've discovered is it was really intended for all of us all the time. Because this is how God expects us to live. And this is what He wants for our life. So let's see if we can read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but that brought a whole different meaning to Psalm 23 when I really learned about shepherd and sheep. And so as we have graduates today, they move on to the next part of their life. I hope we have prepared them not to be independent. I hope we've prepared them not to go out and pull themselves up by their own bootstrap. But I hope we've prepared them to go out and move from dependency on us to dependency on God. Because only the good shepherd brings peace, even in the middle of chaos. And that's what we need, and that's what our young people need. So I guess I am God's sheep. I don't have the tongue thing right yet. I'll work on that. So I want to thank you today for coming here, for celebrating together our graduates. Thank you for supporting us at Mobile Christian School. And the last thing I will do is stand up here and say thank you to my mother. Because I didn't realize it till I got older. But the person who was teaching me that lesson the whole time was my mother with her actions. And I hope that I am that kind of model for my children. I hope that I'm that kind of model at Mobile Christian. And so thank you for all of your support. And we really are sheep. So I'm going to ask you today, if you've never given your life to follow Christ, I'd like for you to come forward and do that. Because there really is peace. Whatever chaos is going on in your life, the Good Shepherd can take care of that for you. If you've already given your life to Christ, but you've been living independently and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, come forward. Let us help you. Let us pray with you. And let's turn that around and get dependency back on God. So whatever the case is, we love you. We want to pray with you. And we want to lay everything at God's feet today. So if you have needs that you need met, and you want to lay them down today, come forward as we all stand and sing together, please.